Join with me as we pray and ask God to bless. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask God that you pour out your spirit, and God that you break every yoke. Lord, send the anointing, God, that'll touch hearts, and Lord, that they may receive of you and receive your blessings. And we'll just praise you and glorify your name as the word does the work that you send it forth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I want to minister for a few moments today on the thoughts out of Nehemiah in the 8th chapter. Section of scripture that we quote a lot, and you hear a lot of people mention it. This scripture simply says, starting in verse 10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared." This is one of the places in the Bible that introduces benevolence. And the instruction was to have, you know, for yourself, but also set aside a proportion for them, nothing that has been prepared. For this is the holy, for this day is holy unto our Lord. And then the last part of that verse says, "Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And there's some power in that thought this morning. Because the devil works from daylight to dark 24/7. The devil works to try to drag you down. The Bible said he is the accuser of the brethren both day and the night. The Bible said he's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. He's in a continuous thing with you every day to do that which bugs you, does that which just aggravates the fire out of you. He does everything in his power to get you down and get you in gloom and doom. But the Word of God says, be not sorry. You know, and he's talking about in a sense of you know, don't let your mind get in a state wherein that you're fretted. Bible tells us to be not worry in well-doing. And God is sent throughout his word, and here he makes this profound proclamation when he says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Now, you've got to know the Lord to have that joy. Just in the natural, if you've got a good thought of mind, or you've got a good, however you want to say it, if you just in the natural, that works to a person that has pop. Doctors will tell you when somebody's real bad sick, if their thoughts are all down and they just don't have any desire to live, doctor will tell you that it's harder for them to get well. This is just in the natural, that a person that if they are all excited, they're full of enthusiasm and they're full of life, that this person has a greater ability in themselves to offset sickness or disease, and a whole lot better if somebody hurt or in an automobile accident or something like that. If they have a state of mind where they want to get better, they want to get up, they want to do, then they, in the natural, it's easier for that person to be able to recover. So how much more is it when we take it in Christ? If it works in the physical body, if it works for the carnal man, if it works in all aspects, how much more is it going to work for a child of God? Amen. So we don't need to have as one group of people out here called it the gravel rash, where they drag your chin on the ground, or one group called it the molly grubs, or whatever you want to call it. We don't need to be going around down all the time. We need to find something, you know, that we can lift ourselves up in the thoughts of the Lord. You know, we're not to set our affections of things of this earth, but on things above. Because we've been resurrected and redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ, we're no longer dead, but now we're alive in Christ. I'm telling you, some Christians, what was it, tell the story about the little kid looking at an old mule, and they turned around to their so their grandmother, whoever it was, and said, "Hey, is that mule a Christian?" And the grandmother said to the little kid, "Well, what makes you ask something like that? Why would you ask if that mule's a Christian?" He said, "Well, it has a long face like most of them people down at the church, you know." And so we as Christians have a right to have some joy. And I'm convinced you can be feeling the heat off of the doorstep of hell. You can have the devil coming at you in every direction, but you still can find a place in God wherein that you can have some joy. The Bible goes on to say, be content in whatsoever state you're in. And that don't mean North Carolina, Virginia, or West Virginia. That means whatever condition you're in. And you as an individual need to find peace where you're at. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll never win the battle till you get peace over the battle. You have to get victory in your mind. You have to get victory in your spirit before you can physically win the battle. You've got to have that made up mind. I'm going through. I'm going over. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to climb the mountain. I'm going to win the battle. I'm going to overcome the devil. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to win this race. You have to set your mind to that course. You have to set your thoughts to that course. I tell people a lot of time, I've told a lot of cancer victims that I've prayed for. I've told them, listen, take that verse of scripture where it says, thou shalt not die but live and declare the works of God. I said, write it with a big magic marker and tape it across your mirror when you look at your face to brush your teeth, comb your hair, or whatever you look in that mirror for. The first thing you're going to see is, I shall not die but live and declare the works of God. And I've seen it work for hundreds of people. Bible says there is a sickness unto death. Bible says there is a time that, and I think you can know. I've had personal experiences where I didn't really feel led to pray for the person to be healed because God had showed me that he was going to take them. Now that's what they call a sickness unto death. But outside of that, we are to pray and believe God and put the devil underfoot. And I have found that people that practice, they practice the victory of the Lord. They proclaim the victory of the Lord. They speak, we shall not be defeated, but we shall overcome. I know my wife, we fight a tremendous battle to keep all the finances it takes and the recession and the devil trying to rob and steal from you in every way he can. And my wife is continuously saying, the Lord has spoke and said, we shall lend and not borrow. And I've heard her quote that verse hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. We shall lend and not borrow for the victory of the Lord. Amen. And if you proclaim the victory. Now, I've had people argue and fuss and fight, and some of them say, well, it's a lie to say you got it if you ain't got it. Well, I don't know about that, but I tell you, you got to proclaim it if you're going to have it. You've got to claim the victory. You've got to say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. You've got to square your shoulders and get up and walk in that healing. If you need a financial miracle, you've got to square your shoulders and say, I am blessed according to the word of God. I am blessed. I shall overcome. I shall lend and not bar. I shall, by the grace of God, be victorious in everything that I put my hand to do in Jesus' name. You have to have positive faith. You can't go around humdrumming and milly-mouthing and poor-mouthing and saying, oh me, oh my, the Lord don't love me anymore. Why has the Lord put this battle on me? Well, the Lord didn't put it on you. The devil did. I have people all the time say, oh, Brother God, I don't know what I've done so wrong. It's got the devil on my back. Well, it's maybe what you've done right. You ever notice when you start to serve the Lord, the devil comes in? You ever notice, I've heard people say, well, Brother Goat, I'd pay my tithes, but I did one time, and the transmission went on my car the same week I paid my tithes. Well, I'd pay my tithes, but, you know, I did there one time, and, you know, the refrigerator went one week, and the washing machine the next week. Every time I pay my tithes, something tires up. I said, what'd you do? They said, well, I quit playing my tithes and everything quit turning up. You know what? That's somebody speaking that don't know God or don't know nothing about his word. Because the devil, listen, the devil is not going to fight what he owns. The devil, if you have no intention to serve God and you have no intention to do right, the devil is not going to come mess with you. He's going to mess with you when he thinks he can discourage you, when he thinks he can turn you around, when he thinks he can make you quit or sit down, throw in the towel, give up, get mad, get whatever, get frustrated, and lose your joy. That's what the devil's going to do. But when you come to that place to realize that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world, and you come to a place to realize that you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus, and you have power and authority over all that comes against you in Jesus' name, and you can speak and declare and decree a thing and see it established unto you. Bible says, if our delight be in the Almighty, we can decree a thing. Our delight. Most people that's got delight's got some joy. They're dancing around, hopping around. You ever seen kids, you know, you say, oh, we're going to get ice cream. Boy, they jump around, they dance around. Boy, they just have a fit. Well, God's got bored ice cream. What was that little song they used to sing? Jesus is better than ice cream. Or how's that little old chorus used to go? Y'all used to sing it. Jesus loves me better than ice cream. That's the truth, amen? I'll tell you something today. Serving the Lord is a victorious experience. Serving the Lord is full of joy. Let's cover some scriptures that'll back it up. Glory to God. The Bible says that the psalmist, and we can stay in the Psalms all afternoon, all day and all afternoon on this thought. But here in verse 11 of Psalm 16, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. This way of life is a joyous way. I know a lot of the world, they think us Pentecostals are slap crazy. In my land, them people's are shouting and hooping and hollering and carrying on. They don't call that crowd out at the ball game. Matter of fact, they've rearranged the school system so they can play that ball earlier. They've got it where they got the whole month of August to have those good games where they can get out there in the sun and before it gets cold. I'm going to tell you something. The American education system is based on two things, a dollar bill and the sports that's involved in it. The education system ain't worth 2 cents. They took God out of it. They took prayer out of it. They took the name of Jesus out of it. The American education system's in the toilet. It's in the toilet. And Obama appointed a bunch of queers to head up most of the programs. It's in the toilet, if you please. But that crowd at the ball games, they hoop and holler. They get out there half-dressed, turn somersaults. I mean, boy, they cut a shine. They carry on. But we lift our hand and say, hallelujah. And say, oh, that guy's a fanatic. I looked up the word of fanatic. And the Bible, you know, it plain in the Word of God that, you know, we should be a peculiar people. Word of God used the word peculiar. We translate that to say, well, that guy's a fanatic over his religion. Well, we go to the Webster's Dictionary and look up the word fanatic. You know what the word fanatic is described by the Webster's Dictionary? It's someone that is sold out to one thing. I said, I am a fanatic. I'm sold out to the cause of the gospel. They come too late to tell me anything different. They come too late. I'm too far gone for them to help me. I'm bent the way I'm going. Nothing in this world worth turning around to see. My eyes caught the prize, waits me by and by. I'm going on. I'm going through. I'm going over. I'm going to win this battle, and I'm going to be victorious in Jesus Christ because the Word said I could. and I'm going to have a little joy about it as I go. And if you'll learn as you fight this battle, you need to have kind of a joy meter. If you feel your joy getting low, you need to start doing something to build it back up. They got that commercials, got that vegetable meter where that little number flops up over that guy's head. Well, we need a joy meter. And if your joy starts running low, you need to start working on it. If life gets to, it seems like it's a humdrum, invite more of Jesus into it. If your life's a bore, invite more of him into it. I know if you look at what's been proclaimed, and I've seen so many folks that want to go to heaven, they want to serve God, but they've just been so turned off by the mess they've seen in the church world and all the problems they've seen. And I agree. I'm like a brother said down in North Carolina. We done a meeting in his church, big, large church, 400 people. He was about 53 when he said this. He said, "I'm glad I got saved when I was a younger man." Because he said, "I've lived and what I've seen from the church, I don't know where I'd want any of it or not, if that was all I seen in God." You got to get beyond the four walls of the church. You got to get beyond the deacon. You got to get beyond the hypocrite. You got to get beyond the pastor. You got to come to the feet of Jesus. And you got to realize that he's going to show you, the Bible said, the path of life. And he said, in his presence is the fullness of joy. And he said, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We have to find the Lord. We have to base our joy and our peace and our happiness. We have to base all these things around the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us in Paul's writings in Romans in the 14th chapter. It says in verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink." Some people just base everything they do and everything's going on in their life of how much money they got in the pocket or what goods they got around them. But the word of God says, "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You ever been around a good Pentecostal meeting when somebody gets the Holy Ghost to get tickled, get happy? Don't have a care in the world? I've seen them run and dance and shout and just leap for joy. Because that's where the real joy is at, is in the Lord. The real peace is in the Lord. The real joy is in the Holy Ghost. And that's what Romans 14 and 17 proclaims to us today. Amen. Then, in 1 Peter and in verse 7, goes on to talk about some trials. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor." It's talking about the battles you go through. Let's talk about the trying of your faith. "And glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I want to read a little more down through, because but there's some real, real powerful message in this. "Whom have not seen ye love, in whom through now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now, this is that joy that comes from knowing the Lord. "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." The total outcome of all this should be to the saving of the soul. Verse 10, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." See, we've got something that the Old Testament saints didn't receive. We've got the salvation by grace. Christ came, went to Calvary, died, paid a price that you and I can be saved. The Old Testament saints, they wandered in deserts, hid in caves. They waited and watched and longed for this experience to come. And now it's been granted to the children of grace. Searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Christ had to suffer. He had to become the price paid for sin. He had to be the propitiation. So you and I can have this joy, you can have this peace, you can have this victory. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and hope of the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. Here this grace was promised. The Old Testament saints longed for it. We entered into grace and now we have received it through faith. This is something that's got a lot of people tangled up and mixed up. You can't live good enough to get saved, but when you get saved, then Christ begins to live through you. A lot of people's trying to get good enough to get saved. You can't get good enough to get saved. A lot of people's trying to do enough good to merit that they feel like they're worthy of salvation. We're not worthy of it. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. You've got to take it by faith. You got to take it by grace. You got to accept it. It's a free gift given to you by God through Jesus Christ, and you have to reach out and take it. I used to teach the SC Lovett soul winning, and we worked college campuses and seen literally thousands of young kids saved, young adults, you might say, saved on the college campuses. We traveled with a group called the Saints and went all over the eastern United States and saw literally thousands touched and brought to the Lord. One of the simple things we taught is the gift, and taught people about the gift. Used to take a $5 bill and stand before a crowd of people in maybe a concert or something and say, "Well, I'm going to give you a gift that represents like Christ give you a gift of salvation." We'd say, who believes that this is a $5 bill? Boy, hands go up everywhere. Who believes that I'll give you this $5 bill? Boy, those hands go up everywhere. I said, okay, how about you? Do you believe it? Yeah. You believe it enough to come up here and receive it? Yeah. So here comes somebody after the $5 bill. And I say, have you done anything, worked for me, or any former arrangement to earn this $5 bill? No, never saw you before today. Okay, here's this $5 bill. And I'd reach it out to the person, and I'd say, you have faith that it's a $5 bill. You have faith that if you receive it, you can have all the benefits that that $5 bill will bring to you. And they would say yes. And I say, well, reach out. reach out and take it. And they grab it and go back to their seat smiling. And then you'd explain how the gift of God can't be earned. It can't be bought. It can't be will from your mom or your dad, your grandma, your grandpa. It has to come through faith. One must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They must believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as they believe that, and you, wherever you're at today, if you believe that, you've got to reach out like that young man would reach out in that meeting to take that $5 bill. He'd smile and grasp it in his hand and go back to his seat. He'd received a free gift that was his and all the benefits thereof. Salvation is a free gift paid for by Calvary's blood. It's free to you. You've got to receive it. And in that salvation, the end of it is the saving of the soul. In that salvation is life eternal. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he also grants the Holy Ghost to those that are saved and fills them with that joy. And that joy and that victory comes in your life, and you've got the power and the stamina to overcome the devil. And saints of God, keep your joy running high. Get a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost every time you need it. Get you a touch. Get back to an altar prayer. If you're wayward, my friend, this morning, maybe in a backslidden condition, whatever condition that this message finds you in, come back to the Lord. Come and let him touch you. Come and let him change your heart and your life and fill you back up with that joy. Come back to the right-hand side of the Father, because there's joy and peace right there. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there is strength in it. Lord, we thank you for the victory we have. We thank you for men and women that will accept you this morning and accept the plan of salvation. God, let the backslider be reclaimed. Let the sinner be saved. Let those that are wayward find peace. At the hand of the Lord. God, come now and move and send that anointing. Save, set free, deliver, heal. Give the victory to all that call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God love you and God bless you. The message of truth is real, and it's real to all them that believe it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't trade for it. You've got to simply say, Lord, I believe, and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I accept all the benefits of grace. Amen and amen. God love you. God bless you.